Okay, Mr. Camacho.
Testing, testing. Good morning. I'm the hearing officer, Anthony R. Camacho. We are going to begin the pre-hearing conference for the appeal of Guam Community Improvement Foundation, Inc., appeal number OPA-PA-09-005. It is approximately 9:06 a.m. on Friday, October the 9th, 2009. We are on the sixth floor of the DNA building in Aganja, Guam, the district conference room. And will the staff of the Office of Public Accountability, who are present at this hearing, please identify themselves for the record?
Joyce Harris, Public Auditor.
Lois Harris, Audit Supervisor.
Ann Camacho, Administrative Officer.
Thank you. Will the counsel for the appellant please identify themselves and any institutional representatives that are with them today?
Yes, Randall Penless on behalf of Guam Community Improvement Foundation, and there are no representatives here today.
Well, thank you, Mr. Penliff. Will counsel for the purchasing agency please identify himself and any institutional representatives that are with him today?
My name is Benjamin Abrams, and I'm an assistant attorney general. With me today is a hearing assistant, Felix Mongonian, from our office. He's sitting at the far end of the table on my right.
Thank you, Mr. Abrams. And will any interested parties that have entered their appearance in this matter please identify themselves for the record and any institutional representatives that are with or that are here today?
Good morning. Joyce Tang for Interested Party IBC. There are no institutional representatives here this morning.
Thank you, Ms. Tang. Well, we are here for the rescheduled pre-hearing conference. Just for the record, this hearing was originally scheduled for September the 30th of 2009. Unfortunately, we could not proceed on that day because we are in condition of readiness two due to the approach of a tropical storm. So the hearing was rescheduled from that day to this date. I'm just going to go down the agenda for the hearing. And the focus is generally trying to expedite the disposition of the formal hearing and this appeal. I believe that is the next step in this matter procedurally. Do we have any formulation or simplification of the issues between the parties or which the parties have worked out via stipulation?
None, Mr. Camacho.
Is there any possibility of obtaining any admissions of fact or documents that would avoid unnecessary proof in this matter? Have the parties discussed that particular issue?
No, we have not. I'm not sure that there would be anything that could be.
Well, speaking for purchasing agency, I think that if the last hearing is any guide, there probably wouldn't be too much of an objection by either Mr. Cunliffe or myself or Ms. Tang, for that matter, to any of the exhibits that are going to be utilized on this appeal. As far as factual stipulations are concerned, considering the confidentiality of certain parts of the procurement record, I don't believe that whatever happens is going to depend much upon a factual platform. I think that the issues of law to be decided might be the subject of stipulation between the parties. And maybe some limited facts, and I'd be willing to achieve that or attempt to achieve it by Monday afternoon.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Abrams. The hearing officer would appreciate just to expedite the actual formal hearing in this matter. I'd like the parties to explore the possibility of stipulations as to the legal issues, and if there are any facts that are clearly not disputed, maybe a stipulation or admission of facts would be helpful in this matter. In terms of rulings, I know that for the two motions previously made, those are still under advisement, both the motion for the protective order made by the purchasing agency and the purchasing agency's request that the public auditor confirm the substantial interest. We should be having a decision on both those motions shortly, but they're still under advisement at this time. However, are there any advance rulings other than those two motions? Are there any other advance rulings prior to the hearing that the parties believe I need to take up at this time concerning admissibility of evidence? These are things that are not in your prior motions, Mr. Abrams. Is there anything other than that you think I need to decide concerning the evidence in this case?
None come immediately to mind, but Mr. Camacho. I can't think of anything off the top of my head.
All right.
May I suggest that perhaps a date be set for submissions of any stipulations as to law or facts or issues that the parties each anticipate or cannot agree to, so that you'll be aware of them, and it'll give both sides an opportunity to organize their cases and respond to those facts and law.
Yeah, certainly. What one of the products that will come out of this particular hearing is the actual scheduling order for the hearing on the merits of the appeal, mm-hmm. And that definitely will be part of that order. The next subject is basically the avoidance of unnecessary proof and of cumulative evidence. Okay. Are there any efforts of the parties to make sure that that doesn't occur during the formal hearing in this matter?
Well, actually, one of the things that was discussed briefly between myself and Mr. Weisenberger was the question of whether, since there are two appeals based upon the same procurement, whether it would be appropriate to join those for the actual hearing, because otherwise I think there probably would be a lot of cumulative matters brought, and you could have one decision going one way and one decision going another way. It may be in the interest of everybody, but I've discussed it with Mr. Weisenberger. I don't know what Mr. Abrams or Ms. Tang's position is about that.
Although that would be very expeditious, the issue with doing that, just so the parties know, and for the record, the other appeal that Mr. Cunliffe is referring to is in the appeal of Guam Education Financing Foundation, Inc., not the same entity as the appellant in this case, and that is appeal number OPA-PA-09-007. Unfortunately, due to the fact that although that might be possible, and we're certainly, that is one issue that will come up during the status hearing at 11 o'clock today in that case, the issue there is that their appeal was filed at a later date, which means they are still in the process of doing their formal record filing. Okay, I know that the, for example, the purchasing agency in that case has just filed their agency report, and there's still the time period in which comments on the agency report need to be made, and likewise rebuttals need to be made, and there are a couple of motions in that case as well that need to be dealt with. Although it's possible to consolidate the cases and possibly hold one hearing, the issue with that is it would push back the formal hearing in this case until the formal pleadings in that case have been filed and the preliminary motions that have been made in that appeal have been resolved. Okay, that's the only effect that doing that consolidation would have in this case. Do the parties understand that?
Now?
Yes.
Not knowing GDFO's position, if the OPA office issues a decision on the substantial interest matter, we would, I think, have to ask GDFO if they would, if these two cases were consolidated, whether they would accept the decision in GCIF for the GDF, because I think the issues do not need to be, we don't have to have a separate hearing on that, having gone through the same thing, we present the same evidence over. And I think that if that could be addressed at the 11 o'clock hearing, that I think would help facilitate, cut the time down. Now, with respect to the hearing on the merits, I suppose they could stipulate to whatever the OPA's office's decision, the auditor's decision, Madame Auditor's decision on the motion for protective order. My understanding is the same documents have been filed in that case, and so this would also help facilitate matters and reduce the amount of work and the more, I think, better use of resources. If they would stipulate to that, we can get that confirmation. I think that we could get it hearing on the merits quickly on both cases and consolidate it. Because I think they will involve the same, pretty much the same witnesses, certainly on what I view as, you know, the purchasing agent side and with respect to the offers. They may have a couple of witnesses, but that shouldn't, you know, I think it's more efficient that way, and we don't have to have two hearings on the merits. That's my suggestion. And we're also looking, of course, for an accelerated schedule because of all the pending matters, because of, you know, all the pressure to build a school. Perhaps if GSF would agree to those 2 points, that would, I think, allow the OPA to proceed and consolidate and set an early hearing on the merits.
Okay, but that's the issue that we have there is that the appellant in the other case also has their administrative hearing rights or due process rights, and I have to ensure that those rights are protected and they receive the full benefit, and that would include the benefit to oppose any motions made on their own in that case and without the stipulations or their waivers of those rights. We're going to have to allow them the full opportunity to be heard and make their case, just as we did the parties in this case. Okay, they were not a part of the hearings we had previously. Okay, so that's the issue I have in that case. But those issues are certainly something the parties in this case could approach the appellant in that case on, but without those waivers, we are going to have to proceed in accordance with the procedure set forth in our regulations governing the procurement appeals process.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, for the next topic, which is the identification of witnesses and documents, we are going to need, and I'm going to require full disclosure by the parties of the witnesses that they intend to produce at the hearing on the merits in this case, and likewise the documents that they are going to present these witnesses at the hearing. Keep in mind that, once again, everything you file, yes, it's part of the record, okay, but what we need is, as we discovered in the last hearing, the specific documents that you present the witnesses, because that does become part of the transcript of this case, okay? And so I need those specific documents that you intend to present to the witnesses also identified. Okay, and that's in addition to all the documents that are already a part of the record and that were part of the filings. Did the parties understand that?
Yes.
Okay, so part of my schedule would be another submission of witness list for the hearing on the merits, and likewise submission by the parties of the their exhibits. Would next week Friday be sufficient time for the parties to develop those products?
I believe so.
And then I'm also going to require the parties to file their pretrial briefs.
That would be on Friday as well.
Yes, but would Friday be acceptable? And this is just a, you know, you need not refile your entire agency report or your entire comment to the agency report. This is merely a summary of what your argument is going to be at the hearing on the merits. And that will also be spelled out in the order after this hearing.
May I ask, will the decision regarding the protective order be issued before the submission of this document in the pretrial brief, seeing as it be relevant, because if additional exhibits, if those matters are, the protective order is denied, then we assume that Mr. Cunliffe will be using some exhibits, and we wouldn't issue.
Yes, well, barring, it is our intent to get that out early and hopefully before next week Friday, provided that we don't have any more natural disasters, typhoons, and shutdowns of the government. Hopefully, we'll get that out before then.
Thank you.
Now, are there any other pending motions that the parties intend to make? Should I have a motion cutoff date in this order?
Mr. Camacho, we don't anticipate the filing of any motions. The only motions that could conceivably be of interest be those, depending on which way the rulings go, that are yet to come out. But obviously, if those rulings are favorable to us, then I can't think of any motions in addition to ones we've already filed. However, if those rulings are adverse to the purchasing agency, conceivably there could be a motion for reconsideration, for example. I'm not saying we would, but those are the only motions that come to mind.
All right. I'll put a motion cutoff date for the parties as well in the order. The next topic is basically adopting the need for special procedures for managing potentially difficult or protracted actions, complex issues, multiple parties, or unusual proof parties. We kind of touched on that and the possibility of consolidating the cases. But like I said, I can't really do that without some waivers or stipulations by all the parties in the matter. And the understanding that that would probably serve to extend the time to have the formal hearing in this case, okay? As the formal record in the other appeal still needs to be made. Are there any unusual proof problems in this case other than what's been brought up in the prior motions?
I don't believe so.
Now, time limits. I'm looking at having the formal hearing in this matter. Okay. The actual earliest, okay, just let the parties know, the earliest that we could have this hearing is October the 26th. Okay, that's at least from the Office of the Public Accountability side. That's the earliest that we could have this hearing. If the parties desire to try to have a consolidated hearing with the other appellant, we could possibly have the case sometime around November the 16th, okay? Because at that period of time, they would have gone through all their formal filings, okay? And that would give them sufficient time to build the record in their appeal and have the case heard with yours in one hearing. So which would the parties prefer?
Well, the only result that would have any effect on this proceeding and the procurement having them split would be if there was a ruling in favor of the appellant. Because if the ruling goes against the appellant in this case, you still don't go forward with the procurement until you decide the other case, because that's still pending. So, only a successful appeal would start the procurement process over sooner than I guess it's about 20 days specific to be in the hearing.
That's about correct, Mr. Cromwell.
So that's my only comment on it. The 26th is all right with me. The 16th is all right with me.
Speaking for the procurement agency, Mr. Camacho, first thing I'd like to mention is I have no problem with the 26th of October. However, I'm leaving on a trip for the long weekend on the 29th, which I believe is a Thursday, and I'll be back the following Monday, which I think is the 2nd of November. So, but the 26th should be sufficiently in advance of the 29th, so that we could, if we went ahead on the 26th, we could probably wrap it up by then. I'm just saying that I do have this, I've already bought the plane tickets and so on, so I probably won't be here. Conceivably, Mr. Weisenberger could pinch hit for me if it does go that long. But I just want to put that on the record. The other thing is, again, depending on which way these rulings that are pending go, would affect our decision on whether it's a good idea to try and consolidate the hearing on merit dates for the 16th of November or not. So could I kind of keep my options open on that?
We're going to schedule the formal hearing today. I know in this case, like I said, the earliest possible date is supposed to be an expedited proceeding. Reminding you, would be the 26th of October.
Let's go with that then. That would be my suggestion.
Thank you. Because they state that they have the number 26, unless they stipulate it.
Okay, and I guess we could schedule the formal hearing in this matter on October the 26th. Okay, but if the other party the other appellant in the other case basically desires and agrees that they want to consolidate it, and the parties here want to consolidate it, I would also entertain a motion to continue, okay, that formal hearing.
You mean consolidate?
1 minute, please. I want to make sure. Please put your cell phones on, sorry, that's one thing I forgot to state here, on vibrate, or the silent mode, or if they don't have it, please shut them off. That's for the members of the audience. Please proceed, Mr. Abrams.
Were you suggesting that if the other party has no objection, we could consolidate for the 26th of October?
No. I don't believe that's feasible.
We probably wouldn't. As I said before, we really need to see what these rulings are, but My guess is we probably would not be receptive to consolidating on the 16th of November, but to go ahead on the 26th of October with the hearing in this case.
Okay, well, I'm going to schedule then the hearing for the 26th of October, starting at 9 a.m. Okay, all the other dates concerning the motion cutoff, motion cutoff will probably be next week Friday, which is the 16th. The 16th of October will also be the date that the witness list and the exhibit list will be due. It must be filed with the OPA and served upon the other parties. And as I said, I would still be open to a motion to continue the formal hearing in the matter for consolidated hearing at some later date in November. Concerning the presentation of evidence, Mr. Abrams, in reviewing the record, please correct me if I'm wrong, because it's rather voluminous, but I don't believe that we have Nita's bond counsel's opinion concerning whether or not the financing proposed is debt. Is not debt. Or is or isn't debt. And that is something that I would require, is that would be a vital piece of evidence. Do you know if that was actually submitted in the procurement record?
I can't say right off the top of my head that it was, whether it was in the procurement record or not. But now that it's been brought to my attention, I can give you this assurance that by the end of the day, I will ascertain that, and if it is part of the procurement record, indicate what part it is, and if it's not, file it as an augmentation, should I say yet another augmentation of the procurement record, if that's acceptable to you, Mr. Camacho.
That's right, and if you have some issues concerning its admissibility, you may file the appropriate motion before the motion cutoff date as well.
Could we resolve any problem with the admissibility right now? If Mr. Cunliffe thinks he might have an objection, could we get into that a little bit at this point? Or maybe Mr. Cunliffe could say...
Well, I'm not going to speculate. Let's just, you have your motion cutoff date, but that's one thing I note that is absent from the record before me at this time. Okay. The other thing that I believe is absent from the record is Deloitte's financial information that they prepared for the financing.
They also do.
And that's also another Those financial documents are basically prepared at Gita's request. We just can't find those in the record as well. So do you know if that's in the record?
Mr. Camacho, I would have the same response.
Okay.
I'm not sure right now if it is in the record or not, but if it's not, we'll take care of it by the end of the day with a motion for an augmentation of the procurement record.
Please do so.
Is there anything else?
Okay. And how long do the parties believe it will take them to present their cases?
Well, in selecting the 26th, I, like Mr. Abrams, am leaving on the night of the 29th, and I surely presume that it would be done before then. I mean, I couldn't imagine it would take 4 full days.
I'm leaving on the morning.
Well, first comes to worst, we can start, go as far as we can, and then proceed when the parties, counsel have returned. Okay. But we are definitely going to begin, unless the parties stipulate otherwise, and I agree on it, on the 26th of October.
I think we could do our case in 8 hours.
Mr. Cunliffe?
Probably likewise 4 to 6 hours.
Okay, I'm just trying to estimate and the reason for that is we're going to use this room, but of course it's not, this room belongs to DISSIT, not the Office of Public Accountability, so I'm just trying to estimate the length of the hearing to make the appropriate logistical preparation. So we're looking at possibly 2 days then, correct?
Well, I would say possibly 3 to be on the safe side.
Yeah, that's what I think, 3.
In 3 days.
Because we have Ms. Tang here too.
Ms. Tang, how long do you think it'll... I know you're usually tagging along after Mr. Abrams, but...
I don't think I'll need as much time as... I probably won't need more than 2 to 4 hours.
Okay. So about 3 days, is that all right with you as well?
Thank you.
Okay. Okay, and then... also, in the presentation of evidence, have the parties discussed having a, now it is possible to have a joint stipulated witness list, joint stipulated documents, that's up to you. That would just expedite things, but if you want to have 2 separate sets, it's entirely up to you. I just encourage it, that's all. Okay. And then, are there any witnesses, or do any of the parties know of any persons that are going to be at the hearing on the merits that require any special accommodations, auxiliary aids, or services, so they can adequately attend the hearing and adequately participate?
I know of none.
All of the witnesses that we anticipate calling are ambulatory at the moment. So barring any unforeseen mishaps and assuming they're in the same physical condition on the 26th, we shouldn't need any of that, Mr. Camacho.
Okay. Are there any other matters that I need to take up at this time in this case?
I don't believe so.
None, Mr. Camacho.
No, thank you.
All right, so I will issue the scheduling order for the hearing on the merits. That will probably come out today. Monday at the latest, but I'm going to try real hard for today, and hopefully get the, as I stated earlier, finalize the decisions concerning the prior motions made in this case. Thank you. We are off the record in this matter at 9:40.
Thank you.